Well, good morning out there, family of God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through today, He is more than enough, my friend. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so, what a day. What a day it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Got a full house. The Raise the Hallelujah crew's back with us from convention. And we are excited for all that's going to happen today and how the Spirit of God. Yeah, we didn't get invited. It was an exclusive club. It was an exclusive club. Amen. But no, it is good to have everybody back in us with us this Tuesday morning. It's like my day off. It's almost like my day off. I love this. And so just incredible women of God in the studio with us this morning. And they always bring strong words and a strong Holy Spirit with them. Amen. Well, got a couple. Let's do this. Well, let's go around tape real fast before I get into my verse of the day. Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm better than most.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I love it. Miss Karen?
I am that too.
Hallelujah. Miss Hannah?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here and still full of gratitude this morning.
Amen.
And Miss Crystal?
I'm doing well. Like I said, I'm enjoying this weather, but I know what it means. I know what's coming. But no, it's beautiful. We just had a great weekend and enjoyed some grandchildren. So it's just it's a good day. Good day to be serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've got a verse of the day for us and a quote of the day. Weather's going to be, we're actually going to possibly get some rain today, though, which, you know, I'm not going to complain about because we need some rain.
My yard's dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine needs a resurrection. So rain of the Lord, blow. Let's see here. Well, I just had my verse of the day. It is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, which is really some of my favorite scriptures. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Love that verse. And then a quote today I found from A.W. Tozer. It's actually, I believe it's from the Book of Knowledge of the Holy and the actual introduction. It's always been a quote that comes to my mind often. A.W. Tozer says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Worship is pure or based on the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. The purity of your worship really does center around how you view and how you think about God." And how often do we think, whether intentionally or not on purpose whatsoever, but we think lower of God than He really is. And we've got to elevate our thinking of who He is, the majesties, the glory, the power, the might. One that brings to mind in Scripture all the time is Isaiah the prophet, who sees the Lord high and lifted up, sees the train of His robe fill the temple. And his response is, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." And that's always puzzled me, actually. It's one of my favorite scriptures, but it's always puzzled me because Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord, and yet he's literally declaring, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Like, I don't think he probably had a profanity problem. I don't think he was probably telling dirty jokes. I don't think he was probably going around slandering and gossip. He was a prophet of the Lord, but yet he saw the Lord in his elevated position, and it's astounded him. Peter and James and John did the same thing whenever they saw Jesus in his transform and transfiguration on the mount, and they wanted to build a temple for all three of them. Like, he was like, they were astounded, they were breathtaking of Jesus's glory when they saw him standing alone there. And over we see it where the glory of God took men's breath away. And I guess for me, the question is, the reason that quote always shook me a lot is your breath still taken whenever you think about the Lord? are you still in awe of who he is? And the fear of the Lord, John Bevere talks about this in his book. I actually have it right here in front of me. That's what made me remind his. John Bevere talks about in his book, The Awe of God. He said, the fear of the Lord, and I think it's, I cannot remember which psalm it is, I apologize, but it says, the fear of the Lord is clean. And Isaiah left that room feeling clean when he encountered the glory of God. And when we see God in his proper position and we surrender and we give ourselves to him and we worship him in holiness, there's a cleanlessness, a love. And as John Bevere says in his book, the fear of the Lord is not terrifying of terrified of being in the presence of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is I'm terrified of being away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anything to get between me and him because I need to go to him. He sent his son to me so that I can get to him. And this time that we elevate our thinking and our thoughts about God. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I didn't mean a mini sermon, but it's one of my favorite quotes.
Good. It's Psalms 19:9.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord is clean.
You want to read that?
Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
Mm. Love that verse. Well, Kent, Christmas is going to be at Potter's Hope this Wednesday night, starting at 6:33 there at Potter's Hope and Commerce Drive. If you don't know where that's in Litchfield, it's turn left.
The Huddle House, isn't it?
Yeah, turn left. If you're looking at Taco Bell, turn left towards Huddle House, and then turn left from Huddle House, and you're there.
Yeah.
We always go by restaurants. That's
right across from Huddle House.
That's what everybody knows, so that's how we get tell people how to get to places. Then mark on your calendar, September 24th, 25th, and 26th is our Fall Share-a-thon here on the Box 2 Radio Network, and the Lord has been good, and the Lord has been awesome. And you guys have been generous, and we just love you and honor you for that. Just the body of Christ is tremendous in helping us advance the kingdom of God. Amen. All righty. We're in the book of Mark. This is the only thing I got to work at today. So after this, I'm done. I'm doing my Bible study, and then I just get to sit with my headphones on, and you all are loosed. The women be loosed. In the name of Jesus. Now, it's been 4 days since we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out. I think we are in verse 32 because we talked about Peter's denial.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 14, verse 32. And so, and as you're turning there, I still love that one verse me and Hannah kind of got stuck on last Friday of, and when they sung a hymn in verse 26, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Amen. Which they probably didn't sing Amazing Grace or, or you know, like Blessed Assurance. That probably was not the hymn they sung. So you're thinking, I knew the blue back hymnal was the only way to go. I knew it. I knew if it didn't come from there, it's not holy. But it's not. That's they were just talking about as they sang to the Lord, sang a song.
I think
they
would have sang psalms.
Psalms, yeah. That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah. Not to pick on the blueback hymn. I love a lot of those songs. I sing a lot of them, but they don't let me sing on stage. I tried to sing Victory in Jesus one day, and they wouldn't let me.
Hey, you all just stay tuned because there might be something exciting coming in the Christmas play with Aaron. Might just get to sing something.
That's good.
Yep. She said something about a 12-week crash course that I have to, like, go through singing boot camp or something like that to be able to sing for 30 seconds. But we'll see how that goes. All right. We'll see how that goes. All right. And we do hope you all had an incredible Labor Day yesterday and got to spend, as Miss Crystal said, it's precious time with grandkids and family cookouts. And we had some incredible family time as well yesterday and got to spend some time with some friends of the family. So just it was a great day, and hopefully you all had that as well. If you guys need any prayer, please let us pray with you. 270-257-2689 is the number to call, or you can text me at 270-230-6337. And we just want to connect in prayer. If you need anything at all, just a connection, somebody to encourage. You're just down and out. We get calls quite a bit around here. I mean, not like 50 a day or anything like that, but we get our calls where people are just hurting and broken, and we want to be here to pray and to encourage and to just be able to speak some hope, because we serve a God of hope, Romans tells us, And we must spread that hope far and broad in the name of Jesus. And also, good morning to 91.5 Litchfield Hardinsburg, 98.3 Owensboro, Kentucky, and 91.1 Highsville, Glasgow. If you got announcements, we will be glad to get those into our calendar. You just have to submit it to Studio 1, that's the number one, at box2radio.com. All right, verse 32, and they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. Now, I think those words will become significant, because whenever they're, we're going to find what in Gethsemane? They're going to fall asleep. That was a computer moving, not some, that wasn't me moving my bones, all right? Even though that's kind of what it feels like this morning, I am stiff. Well, you know what my problem is? I know this is far off.
You need some WD-40?
No. Oh. I ate a piece of pizza yesterday for the first time.
Carbs got you.
And the flour and the carbs ate my lunch, and I'm hurting today. Mm-hmm. Like, I can feel a physical, tangible difference from how I ate yesterday. Yes. And I'm like, so that computer sounds like my bones feel this morning in my joints. Anyway, sorry. But we're going to get to where the disciples are going to be rebuked for what? Not praying. Yet he didn't tell them to pray. Mm-hmm. He said, sit here while I pray. You ever thought about that before? I'm not one who overlooks words very often, because I think they're so important. So I would rather slow down and read one verse a day than 100 verses a day if that gets in my spirit. And so I see this, and it's like he's rebuking them, right? He's going to rebuke them later, and we're going to see some things, how they develop. But at first he said, here, sit here. Now, I think he's trying to teach us some things, that even Jesus is like, sit here while I pray. But it doesn't mean that we are absent. And I think it was Miss Crystal and me, whenever everybody bailed on him last Tuesday. I'm just kidding. I know a lot of things, and we're praying for those situations. But me and Miss Crystal just rambled on for about an hour. Actually, it was really good, actually. I enjoyed that Tuesday. I did really enjoy that. But we talked about actively waiting. Mm-hmm. And even here, I think that verse is confirming what we were talking about, mm-hmm. that even though Jesus did just use the word, sit here while I pray, it's never an inclination to the disciples, like, do nothing, guys. Mm-mm. Like, even if he tells you in your life right now, like, there's a season of A to B, and there's this okay, so like they say this, you're in season A going to season C, and B is a transition, and he says, sit here for a season, that does not mean that you do nothing with your life. Mm-hmm. And that does not mean that you get a break from praying, or you get a, there is no vacation from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. There is no apathetic season from the season of prayer. There is no place where we don't evangelize. There is no place where we're not actively serving the Lord. So even though Jesus is saying, sit here, and you could say, well, he's rebuking his disciples for sitting there whenever he told them to. But in reality, I think it's a wake-up call that even in our sitting, because there's been seasons when we sit, and there's been seasons where God's just kind of like, I need you to chill for a minute. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean we actually do nothing. And I see a lot of people in the body of Christ doing nothing. And the question that is like, you know, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know. Just God hasn't told me yet. Well, until God does tell you, at least be a prayer warrior. Until God does tell you, be a worshiper. Until God does tell you, give. Until God does tell you, pick up a toilet bowl brush. Until God does tell you, plug in the vacuum cleaner. Until God tells you, ask your waitress if you can pray for her. Until God does tell you, go and mow your neighbor's yard. Like, you could sit there for 40 years, and some people have, waiting on God to tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to be preachy, but I feel like here it's like, just because Jesus didn't say, hey, you all sit here and pray while I pray, it's not a excuse.
Right.
And I feel like we make those in the body of Christ, and you see people really burning for the Lord, and then they sit in that spot for 20 years because they're just waiting on God. And let me tell you, like, every second of every day, I don't hear the audible voice of God telling me, wear this clothes, go this place, preach this message. But you know what I do have? I have a book full of the Word of God that the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance to men so that they could write the truths of Jesus' teaching, so that we always have a word. So I just want to say that this morning, you don't need always the audible voice of God. Mm-hmm. You have the Word of God. Because in my life, I feel like the Holy Spirit leads a lot and guides a lot. But I don't know about you all, but I've only heard the audible voice of God a handful of times. Right. Like the real audible voice of God. And I feel like that's what we're waiting on the burning bush. We're waiting on this. And in reality, like, we've got the Word. And yes, if He goes right, we go right. If we go left, and we're always trying to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. And we need the voice of the Lord. We need the prophecy. I'm not trying to undermine all that. But sometimes we are so passively waiting on the voice of God that we neglect the Word of God, and we walk in disobedience, apathy, and lukewarmness. And Jesus said, you're neither refreshing or you're healing, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if we're not careful, we'll get to a place of lukewarmness waiting on God to speak.
I was thinking about this in church yesterday, and you know, the verse over there in, I think it's in Luke, one of the Gospels. But, you know, it's when Jesus gets left there at the temple when he's a young man. And he was there, and they were coming back for him. But when they got back, he said to them, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And that, you know, as we were worshiping and praying yesterday, this was what was on my mind, is that, you know, that word must that he speaks there is not a must of obligation, you know, or duty, or, you know, what a job. It's not a I must do my job. It is a word that says, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. I need this. I need it. I want this.
Yeah.
This, I must be about my Father's business because it is my job, but it is also my need. Mm-hmm. It is also that which fulfills me and satisfies something within me, because, again, we were created for that. And, you know, I think, I mean, and again, I speak for myself above anybody. But I was asking the Lord, you know, give us that kind of thought. Give us that kind of heart that we know we don't look at the Father, what we do for the Father as, I don't know the right word, as work, as an obligation or a works. But that we do it because it is something that is a commandment, but it is also a desire. Mm-hmm. You know, there it does fulfill a desire in your heart.
Yeah.
Whether you realize that desire's in there or not.
Right.
Yep.
It does bring something to your life.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what I'm hearing here. You know, don't just sit there. Do something that is the Father's work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That serves the Father.
And, you know, it's like, I love the prophetic. I love the word of the Lord. The Lord does speak. Absolutely. We need to be praying and being led by the Holy Spirit. The light of the word is a lamp unto my feet. All of these are very much true principles. I don't want to undermine anything. I don't want to take anything away from that. But, you know, I've been in seasons in my life, and I mean, anybody wants to chime up and speak into this too, where I didn't really know the direction of the Lord. Like, I didn't know which path he was going to take me, or I'm like, Lord, I need directions why I'm in this season. Like, why am I here in this season? And maybe you're in that season of life, like, what's the direction? Where do I go? What do I do? We can be so consumed with waiting, as me and Miss Chris was talking last week, that we negate just the principles and the simplicity mm-hmm. of the Word of God. Like, we're so busy waiting on the Word of the Lord to become who we're called to be, that we're actually not becoming who we're called to be, and that's one who is being formed in the Christ likeness. So if you don't have a word of the Lord of what to do for a job yet, while you're flipping burgers, pray over every burger and ask the anointing of the Lord to be on that burger. So as that person consumes it, the anointing of the Lord will come over their life. If you are in a phase where you're working on a garbage truck, I have no idea why I said that, but maybe somebody's listening and working on a garbage truck. I don't pray for every house that you pick up. Like, we can always find an active way to be in the kingdom and serving the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I found that. And Dalton was telling me the other day about being in McDonald's and having to wait for 30 minutes for his food, and everybody's angry and everybody's this. But he said, I'm just going to wait because I'm watching this pregnant manager who's struggling and having to do all these things. And he started thinking about his wife, and he was like, what would I feel like if that was my wife trying to do that? And he said, just a word of encouragement, a word of patience, a word of peace, a word of this. It can come, it takes somebody's day. And even Sunday afternoon, me and Heather went out for lunch, and our waitress Jasmine at the restaurant that we went at, and I'm trying to become very intentional about learning names, so I like say the name 5 times during the meal if I have to, because I want them to feel like I value them enough to know their name, because God knows our name because he loves us so much. Mm-hmm. And if we're ever going to share the love of God with others, we better value them enough to listen and to hear. I think you all taught me that the other day in our communication thing. And so I said Jasmine about 10 times during a conversation. But she opened up and she became vulnerable and she started talking about things, and we asked her what she could pray for, and then she just kept coming back to the table. And that's what I found, like, for waitresses, that you ask who, what can you pray for them for, what you can encourage them with, they abnormally come or uncommonly come back to your table more than usual, just because you're feeding something into their life. And how many times have I sit there though in my own life saying, well, I just got to wait for the Lord, until then I'm just going to do this. And I don't serve, and I don't sow, and I don't give. And it's time that we become very active in the body of Christ. And that's not just Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday evenings.
It reminds me of something. This is going to be way off the rails. But when I first moved here, I drove back and forth to Louisville for my job. And it's about 4 years, 4.5 years. And on that drive, it's, you know, a good hour and a half, I started praying for everywhere a light was on at the house. Mm-hmm. It was the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds funny, but after 4 years, I felt like I could drive up in that driveway and know those people. Right. Because you grew to that light wasn't on today. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's been on every day.
Yeah, hope they're okay.
But I intentionally began to pray on those homes that where the light was on, because, well, you know, I'm traveling 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Not very many people's up, and so. But I remember how connected I mm-hmm. began to be in the spirit for these people.
Yeah.
You
I like
know,
that.
For the when the for sale sign went up, and you know, wondering what was going on there, and mm-hmm. you know, being able to pray intentionally. For that.
It's like a connection.
It really was.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it was really
real. It's awesome. I mm-hmm. love that. Yeah.
But you end up, you know, just like you say, that how many people will you pass today that you may not speak to, but you can intentionally begin to pray.
That's awesome.
For God in their mm-hmm. lives. You know, you catch a glance of somebody. You make eye contact just for a second, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you have them in your mm-hmm. heart for a minute. And that's by design. Yeah. That's what the Lord's doing. So no telling how much, God accomplished because we just did that, just obeyed and began to pray for people.
Yeah, and, you know, I listened to a sermon yesterday. I found on accident, actually. I was listening to a sermon by somebody, and then by accident I found this other church. There's a church called Watermark I listen to a lot, and I'm just loving their pastor there and the word he's teaching and preaching. It's really good. But I found this other church too, and I started listening to their pastor, and I listened to a sermon called I Hate It Here. And I was like, it was a good enough title. I was like, I got to listen to this. And it was talking, he's in a series about mountains, and he's talking about Elijah being on the mount, but hating it there because he wanted to kill himself. Like, he literally wanted to die. Like, Elijah was suicidal, and it was an incredible sermon. Like, it was one of the best sermons I've heard in a long time, to be honest with you. But the premise of this sermon is the trauma of met expectations. So, like, when you get to where you're going, but it don't satisfy. Like, and I think for a lot of us, even in our walk with the Lord, we have this, and I know this firsthand because it spoke to me a lot. We're like, well, this is the goal. This is where we're going. And then we get there, and we're like, well, that's not very, what's this? And I think it's because we forget the journey. we forget the beauty of it. And I know the Lord spoke to me one time going to work in Owensboro one time when I was doing the bread route, and it was early in the morning, and you always got to watch the sunrise on the route because you were out way early. And I remember one morning just trying to bus tail to get somewhere, and this beautiful sunset, sunrise is over here. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me on the WK and saying, hey, why don't you just slow down and enjoy my beauty? It's the journey. Mm-hmm. It's the journey. And I think sometimes we forget the beauty of the journey. We forget the beauty of just growing and serving and loving and maturing. And, you know, even what I know, I've been preaching some things that's upset some people lately on some statements. And it's not saying that, like, what I've been preaching for the last couple of weeks is not saying you'll never feel depressed. And you'll never feel anxious, and you'll never feel angry, and you'll never feel that. But what I'm trying to say is that don't have to be yours to receive. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm trying to say in that. But in that, like, you're going to feel unsatisfied. You're going to feel all these things, and you're going to feel like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to kind of do nothing. And I've been there. And you get in this rut where you're just spinning your tires, and the grave's knocked down on the sides, and you're just not going anywhere, and you feel like you're just turning your wheels over and over and over. And before you know it, I agree with that guy. He said, you love the calling. You love your job. You love your life. You love your kids. You love all these. But almost there's this heaviness around you. Like, you just almost like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed. I didn't think it was going to be like this. And yet that's right when the Lord can step in. And I just wanted to speak to somebody this morning. I didn't plan to go this deep with it, but whenever that's really stirred me, sit here while I pray, because that was the commandment. Yet there was no way there was the insinuation, do nothing. And enjoy the journey. Like, don't worry. I don't know who this is for. Don't worry about the promotion as much as you do the journey. Because for a lot of people who end up in the promotion, they actually enjoy the first job better. You're just so fast to rise that corporate ladder. Or how many preachers and how many leaders do we know that is not consumed with discipleship and building people? They just want the platform and the followers and the social media and all these kind of things. And enjoy the journey, guys. Like, stop trying to get success. Stop trying to build the next great thing. Stop trying to be great in all things. And sometimes I feel like sometimes we almost put this weight upon our kids' shoulders, because we're like, uh-oh, another one coming.
He's sneezing, by the way.
It's all about success and greatness and achievement into next greatest thing and next greatest thing. And we're like, it's almost like, if they want to be a plumber for the glory of God, it's not enough. Mm. If they want to be an electrician, it's not enough. You know, it's like, go here and be great and do great and great. And I'm like, no, just be great for Jesus. Like, be incredibly great for Jesus. And yes, go, if you want to go to college, go to college. But it's like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. I think I'm rambling at this point. I need to quit. But it's like, we're always waiting for this next big thing to do something. And today is the day to do something. That's the best I can say.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
This is going to seem silly, and I wish Todd was here or listening, because I'm going to talk about him. But I'll tell him what I said, if that's okay. But, you know, last week, like you said, it was a little over a week that the Lord began to deliver me from fear over a certain situation. Anyway, and so, and last week, Pastor Aaron and I talked about Lamentations 3, verse 25, and it says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him. For to the person who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord." Mm-hmm. And in that waiting, I had received some deliverance. So going back to Todd, this is kind of a funny, but, and I wish he was either listening or here so he could chime in, but so we were going to go yesterday to a family event, which is in Dundee. But first of all, we had to go to Walmart through Litchfield, and we were picking up my grandson, Brett. And so we take off, and we go to Walmart, get our order, and then we remember, oh, no, the parade, you know. Mm-hmm. So we go one way, and you know, it's all blocked off, and which was probably the only way, but we figured they would have it open. No. So I told Todd, I said, why don't we go back, just go back down to 59, and because we had to get to Lilac Road. You know, we had to get, that's where they, that went that way. And no, couldn't go. So he's, and so the more he tried, the more frustrated he'd get. Then he starts talking about the parade people. Well, you know, and I'd say, well, why don't we just go back here? And he'd say, because that's all the way back there, you know. And so we went in front of Jason Miller's house. We're going to cut through the railroad, you know. It's all blocked off. And then there's cars in the way. And then he has to back up and go again. And we're going. And I said, and he goes, well, it's just, it don't make sense what they're doing. You know, get the spiritual point of what's going on here. And and if I had not been in deliverance, I'd have probably been doing the same thing. Oh, this is, but, and I'm not saying I've arrived. Please, I mean, I'm sure in this week, I'm sure I've messed up again. But in this moment, I was able to say, I was thinking in my heart, I wait quietly. And it's not worth my peace. It's not worth me getting frustrated. So I sat quietly, which was a miracle. I sat quietly, and I just waited. And I'm going to go this way. And he went down this road. It was all blocked off. And I was like, and don't it sound just like our lives sometimes, you know? And so finally he said, well, I'm just going to go back this way. And so it just don't make no sense. And why would they block the whole city, which every parade just about does it. But in this moment, he's just frustrated. And so we're going, and so we're going to go back down 259. So he's driving, and I said, and so he's like, and I said, Todd, I said, listen, I said, it's not worth our peace. Let's just stop. And usually it's me that's da da da, you know, and he's the one, you know. But in this moment, because of the Word of God, where I was able to rest in, wait quietly, you know. And so we go, and then we remembered that we didn't have to go all the way back through McDaniels. There's that road Mr. Wynn Lyons lives on now. I can't. Is it King's Road or the one that has Hanging Rock Road, whatever that is, mm-hmm. that cuts through. We remember we could cut through there. And so it got us through quickly. We enjoyed our day and we had a great day, you know. But there's so many times in life, as Pastor Aaron is talking about, that we go and there's something that's there. And we go and there's something that's there. And we allow it to frustrate us mm-hmm. instead of waiting quietly. What is God saying? He was saying, go back to 259. But, and I'm not saying that to make me look good. I'm saying in direction, you know, as we go and we walk things out and we do, we have to stay patient and we have to stay quiet. And like Pastor Aaron's saying, enjoy the journey, you know, enjoy the fact that there was another direction. We just had to find it. We had to wait patiently and move in it and go forth. You know, and then we had a great day, and Todd laughed, and we started laughing at ourselves about how, you know, so it was a fun day, but we could have stayed in the frustration of it. And like I said, as Pastor Aaron said, as he's in a hurry, you know, but we need to be doing what Jeannie was doing. Well, instead of griping that I got to drive an hour and a half every morning to do my job, and oh no, there's traffic, whatever, she focused on the prayer, and she focused on the lights that were there, and on the journey of, hey, there may be a need. There may be this, there may be that. And that's our goal.
I actually mm-hmm. picked the girl up in her pajamas one morning in Muldrow Hill. What in the world are you doing out here? Get in this car. That's what I said. It's funny. But, yeah, there's all kind of opportunities and things
if,
to focus
if we're looking
on that,
and we either wait or, like you said, or step out, like you said, or just find somebody or something mm-hmm. to be praying for, there's always a need.
That's right. Yeah, and it's not about the platform and the huge following. It's about being faithful to the small things. It's about doing the small things. And sometimes I even tell the kids, remind them, like, opening the doors for the people going into a store, or you see an older person struggling to get their grocery bags loaded into the van. Like, the stuff that nobody's going to mm-hmm. see, that you can't be celebrated for, and you're not going to take a selfie to say, look what we did today. Like, those are the things I believe the Lord starts to honor. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you may not be in that position that you feel you're going to be called to, because you're doing nothing in the position you are in now. And it's like, how many people do we know that feel like they're going to the nations, yet they can't talk to their neighbor? Like, I'm going to go to Africa. I'm going to go to China. I'm going to go and be in an underground church in China and risk my life. And I'm going to go in there as a English teacher. But I'm going to risk my life. And I'm like, Have you ever shared the gospel with your neighbor? Mm-hmm. Or better yet, what about your what about your sibling that's in the house with you every day? Well, no, no. I'm like, then how are you going to give your life? Because I think it's very fun, and I mean, it's very noble and heroic in talk. But if you can't share the gospel with your neighbor, you're probably not going to go and risk your life in China.
I want to go back to the part where you was talking about depression.
Sure.
And because this, what we're talking about right here, this is your coming out place. Because as you begin to go to a place that's not great in your thinking or whatever, your next move matters. Mm-hmm. I mean, where you put your mind in this next moment is going to bring you out, or it's going to take you further down. And it is this, I call it simple, is it's the complication of God, is he understands the direction and all of that. You don't know nothing, but in this moment, you simply look for what he has right in front of you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a store, walked out of a store, walked down the street, whatever, but the intention of my mind was the Lord may call on me, mm-hmm, for something.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. And the moment that your mind begins to think that way, I'm telling you, deliverance is right in your lap.
Yeah,
because you're going to lose what you were being consumed
by. Get your mind
by.
Off yourself.
It really is.
Yeah.
But it just getting your mind off yourself, but then intentionally putting it toward the kingdom
That's right.
of God.
That's right.
Or toward the Lord. You're getting ready to come out in a great way without any medication, like you said.
And that's I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's what I felt like I understood from that scripture that I read about Jesus saying that. And again, it's not, you know, I don't walk around all the time trying to think about what the Lord's going to do for me. Mm-hmm. But I have come to find that out. That when I teach, it does something to me.
Yeah.
It increases something inside of me. When I think about him, it does something. When I stand in or sit in awe looking at the sunset or the trees blowing in the wind, it does something to me. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing of it is it's not that I sit around thinking about it. I've come to know it.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to know that when I do something that the Lord has put in front of me, moving weight, all of that, when I do that, I know it's going to do something to mm-hmm. me. It's mm-hmm. going to change my life. And I like what you said there about, you know, when you are sitting in depression and you're walking along and you're doing some of these things, where you put yourself is important in that. And the thing of it is that, again, where you put yourself is putting you in a place that when the Lord does speak, what begins to happen there, or it did for me, is that I began to recognize when something was coming down the road because I had my mind turned toward him.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that I've learned to sit in that place, Lord, until you show me mm-hmm. what it is I need to know here. But see, I'm in a different position than I used to be with it, because he's on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's on my mind, something is going to change here.
And it goes back to rivers and streams. They move. You know, a lake, you know, or stagnant water is still and it can't flow.
Mm-hmm.
And we get stagnant when we sit and we think about ourselves and we go introverted and it's me and oh, woe is me and woe is me. And we don't take away from anything that anybody's going through.
No,
we know there are situations out there and in our lives that we could sit around and go, woe is me, but we move. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jeannie and I have talked about seeding into people because we know God will take care of our people. You know what I'm saying? Not mm-hmm. just for that reason, but, you know, I've watched her pray for people that I know that situation is in her life and in mine, that we pray and we work with those people, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm just saying it like that, almost like a sowing into.
Right.
I don't know if that's
right,
but I'm just saying it's mm-hmm. because that river has to flow. That's why, you know, we say sometimes, you know, I got to get this out. you know, mm-hmm. because it can't go stagnant. It just stirs and it stirs within you, and it needs to come out. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets rid of depression and fear mm-hmm. and anxiety, is getting your mind off yourself and mm-hmm. going out and helping somebody.
Knowing the Lord will keep you.
What you believe mm-hmm. is being tangibly mm-hmm. done in, right in front of you.
Right.
What you need in your life.
Right.
You're speaking it to somebody mm-hmm. else. This is what the Lord will
that's
do.
That's right.
Even though it hasn't come out in your life yet.
Right.
But the more you do that, the more strength that comes to mm-hmm. you be from the Word and from the Lord.
Right.
I mean, if I'm depressed, I'm going to go tell somebody that, you know, the Lord will deliver you from
that's right. That's exactly
Amen.
Right.
I'm going to go speak right. that right. to somebody else, what I need desperately to happen in
right.
my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember Jeannie asking this question a long time ago. I mean, in one of our Bible studies. I mean, it was...
You're making me sound old.
Well, I'm right there. I was in the class, too. But, you know, she asked, she said, what does peace like a river look like?
Mm.
What does that look like? And it goes along with what you're saying here, you know, sitting in that place and being at peace. But what does that look like? It looks like, you know, when a river flows, it changes the depth of something. When a river flows, it changes the borders of it. When a river flows, it's always going to pour itself into a bigger body of water.
Hmm.
Peace like a river in the Lord is going to change some things. And it's going to change not just the depth, but it's going to change the width. And it's going to affect other people. Hmm. And it is that place. It's just like what you were talking about. It's that place of sitting in depression and saying, or wherever you are, and saying, Lord, I'm going to sit here until you tell me what it is I need mm-hmm. to know. I'm going to sit here until you show me what it is I need to change. Whatever it is, Lord, until you tell me what I need to do, I'm going to sit here.
Right. And there's that song, too, there is a river whose streams make glad the city
Ooh,
of our God.
I mean, I
and
think you ought to sing it right now.
But the area, and that's wonderful, and oh my God, it's the Word of God, but it says, but I will rejoice, and you make yourself, you tell yourself,
yeah,
mind,
will,
and emotions, mm-hmm. body, we're going to worship the Lord.
Real.
You know,
yeah.
Because it's not, it's flowing, but if you just say, there's a river that, you know, but he says, but I will rejoice yeah. and be glad. You know, so you right. say, I will mm-hmm. rejoice myself right out of this thing.
I got some friends. And if you ain't got these friends, you need to go find these friends in your life. But I've got some friends, and some of them are sitting here at this table. But when I'm going down,
mm-hmm.
when things aren't right,
mm-hmm.
and it's not, it hasn't manifested,
mm-hmm.
and I've been believing,
mm-hmm.
If I walk in the presence of a few people that I know, all I have to do is look at them and say, I need to praise him today.
Yeah, that's right.
We're getting ready to throw down.
Yeah.
No, really, yeah. we're going to a place of worship. We're going to
that's
a place
right.
of praise. We're getting ready to come out.
That's right.
Right.
And they're
going
to help me get out.
That's right.
And maybe they need to get out. I
oh,
don't know.
Yeah, there's many
but
times.
I just need to praise him.
That's right. Right.
There we go.
Maybe you didn't know you need to get out until you started praising
and
the Lord.
Sometimes yeah. that's all you can do.
But it's enough.
Praising,
man.
But
it's
that's right. And when you begin to do that, then it lifts.
Yeah.
And you're like, whew, you know.
Yeah, so
something?
True.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just, I mean.
You know you got to jump in there.
I do. I will.
Sorry, Pastor Aaron, you lost it. You can take it back now.
Nope.
I want to hear you.
No, I mean, it's just so good, and I think that's so true, because when you take your eyes off of what's going on and put them on him, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's simply just that, because we have to keep getting reset, you know, be transformed by
good
the
word.
Renewing
good
of
word.
Your mind. We need a reset,
mm-hmm.
and... you know, I was something, you know, you hear me each morning talking about gratitude. I think when we talk about the posture of where we're at, that's what it is. Because the Lord keeps reminding me anytime I'm tempted to think like this is an obligation or get stressed or any of that, like it's a privilege that you get to do this.
That's right.
And I think when we remember that every single thing that we do is a privilege,
mm-hmm.
then we start to, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord, for thinking that
right.
way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that even helps reset us
right.
back to the right mindset. And it really is. It's the strongholds in our mind
mm-hmm.
of what Pastor Aaron's been preaching on. We have to retrain our mind.
Right.
And our mind is only going to be retrained by the Word, by spending mm-hmm. time in His presence, by spending time in prayer. Mm-hmm. And so it all just connects together, and I love it. And things will start to change.
That's right.
'Cause when that river starts to flow, mm-hmm. there's nothing that can stop that river.
No, we're just going.
That old one, let the river flow.
We're going to sing up in here. You know, I can see that right now.
Well, let me just read this, and it came up because you said patience. I mean, it's His word. But in James 1.
Oh, yeah, we read that last week.
Yeah,
go with
he
it.
Says, my brethren, count it all joy That's when right. you fall into divers temptations mm-hmm. or trials. Who's going to find count it all joy when you're there? Right. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Here's the thing. But you let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what He's in the process of doing in your life. Mm-hmm. When
and
you wait.
Last week, the translation of patience mm-hmm. is independent, unyielding, a stout-hearted soldier. It's a deliberate purpose, like we've been talking about. It's translated for, as a military term, that they do mm-hmm. not budge, and it's a fierce determination.
Right.
So you determine that in your patience, you know God has a purpose.
That's
and
right.
He has something.
Amen.
I hear now, Brother Ron going, possess your vessel.
That's right. And you purpose that, God, I will wait quietly for you. But in that waiting, deliverance comes. Because it's we wait quietly for our deliverance,
mm-hmm.
And then we move, we flow, and we begin to say. And so, like I said, I was able to overcome yesterday, where I could have quickly been frustrated. Also, I could have quickly been, you know. And that's just I just do these little examples just to kind of to say that in everything we can say, God, you know, I'm gonna wait on you, you know, and. Before in the situation that I was being delivered of a fear of a certain relationship, I'll just be honest with it, of an unhealthy soul tie, an unhealthy relationship that literally drags me down, just literally drains me, I should say, if I let it, and I was letting it. So I was, you know, and like you were talking about, as I turned my eyes on Jesus and I just began to say, God, I wait on you. And that scripture came up in my spirit. And then I just began to worship Him. And a release came as I prayed about it. I saw where the root was coming from. I knew what it was. I confessed it. I spoke it. I was delivered. And then joy came. And the thing the Lord kept telling me, I was in my car. I was crying all the way home from Walmart. And I was rejoicing.
Those are the best times.
Oh, and I was speaking and I was proclaiming. And I was just, thank you, Jesus, set me free. And I didn't hear it audible, like you said. But I knew in my spirit, I felt like the Lord just kept saying, turn your eyes on me. You mm-hmm. keep your eyes on me. You sing your song to me, and you keep your eyes on me because I've got it.
That's right.
I've got it. Mm-hmm. Don't get in my way. I love what Pastor Aaron said, that you said, that Ethan said, You're not.
Oh, wow.
Who said?
I followed.
You said that Aaron's
your cousin's brother and sister. No,
I know,
last week she had walked out, and Pastor Aaron said that Hannah, who is what I'm talking about, her husband Ethan once said to her, "You are not my Holy Spirit." And so it just ministered to me.
We got right in there, private life right there.
Well, he said it last
No, week. It's been out in the open for a few years now.
Yes, she's the one brought it out, not me.
But you know, I was able to use that in my situation when I'd say, and I'd feel like the Lord was reminding me, you're not the Holy Spirit. Just listen to Him, but you can't do it. You mm-hmm. cannot do anything but praise me, and you keep your eyes mm-hmm. on me. And every time I'd hear or... You know, you got it, and I've had a joy, I've had a release in my spirit.
If we would just let God do His job,
man.
Do what He has said He would do, if we would just let that happen, man.
Romans 4, He strengthened His faith, gave glory to God, and then was fully persuaded that what God had promised, He could perform it.
Yeah,
and man, I dwell on that. God, let me be fully persuaded.
The Lord mm-hmm. said to me something that everything the Lord says to me, it stays with me. I tell people over and over and over. I'm sure they're tired of hearing it, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And but it comes back.
Right.
It comes back constantly and ministers to me mm-hmm. in what I'm going through. And one of the phrases that the Lord gave me all these years ago. I'm thinking of it right now. Yeah. Is when I face something that seems so difficult and so hard, and I am down and I am whatever. The Lord spoke to me one day and said, "Well, that's not the end of it."
Right.
That's right.
It changed everything about. And so it comes up all the time and ministers to me in the middle of what I'm walking through.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the end of it.
That's right. It makes me think of over there in Joshua when they're coming across the Jericho, when they stop there in the middle of the river and build a memorial to the Lord. Then they get over there, and every time you turn around, they build another one.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, they still stand. That's what those are. That's those places where the Lord has given you, this thing ain't over yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's a memorial. It's a memorial to Him, and it's going to stand. It's still standing today.
Yep.
You know.
Can I read a scripture? I know we need to. Do we need to go? Are we okay? Jeremiah 24 says this, and this brought me peace. And this is for who our loved ones, whatever. Jeremiah 24, actually 6, it's where it starts. I will keep my eyes on them for their good and will return them to this land. And I will build them up and not demolish them. I will plant them and not uproot them. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh. They will be my people. I will be their God because they will return to me with all their heart.
Yeah.
And that is also an area where he says, I will keep my eyes. So when I was praying in the car, that scripture kept coming to me, and the Lord kept saying, I've got it. I'm going to keep my eyes on them for their good. I've got them. Don't worry. My translation's different. It's the Holman Christian Bible. And return them to this land, and I will build them up. So it's almost like Ethan was saying, you know, you can't help me in this. Let God do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be my Holy Spirit, and I can't be that person's Holy Spirit. I can't do that other. Now we can pray, and we can intercede, and we can stand in the gap, and we can speak scriptures like this. But when there are situations when you can't do anything, and we get up all in the middle of it, you know, we try to do this, and we try to say that, and we try to preach this, and we try. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. There's just times when God says, I got it. I've got it. Just keep your eyes on me. Keep worshiping me. Keep focusing on me. And don't go by what you see. We've heard that so many times. We don't go by what our eyes see or whatever. We go by what the Word of God says, and His Word will not return to Him, and He's able to perform it.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the Lord speaks to me a lot through food.
what? You're kidding.
Yeah. And one thing the Holy Spirit keeps telling me, like just showing me through all of this, like the strong codes, even what you all are talking about today with depression and other things and what we were talking about earlier, you can't really control what's served to you, but you can always control what you eat.
That's right.
And I always go back to how many times has a restaurant messed up your meal?
Mm-hmm.
And when they mess up the meal, it's not what you ordered. But that's what they're serving. But you have the option to eat it or send it back.
Yeah.
And so many times we just go ahead and eat. We go ahead and eat what's in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's here, so we're gonna. And we're almost taught to do that. Like, if I put it in front of you, you're eating it, young man. All right? Huh. And I think there's a truth to that, like, in the sense of trying to get you to eat healthy. But the enemy's going to place stuff in front of you to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends are going to place stuff in front of you to eat. Your coworkers, your bosses, your family, all these people. Constantly people's feeding you around you, but you have to make the decision what to eat. And for me, I think that's where 2 Corinthians 10 comes in, the strong codes, the thinkings, the depression, the anxiety, all of that's going to be served to us. But we've got to submit it to Christ, say, is this your will? Is this an obedience to the Word of God? Is this the kind of mind pattern you want me to have? Is this the life that you've died to give me? If not, I'm not eating this garbage no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that is simple, but it's difficult. Trust me, I know. Because yesterday, we went somewhere yesterday as a family, and Briley and Kylie went with us, and so we were out all day long. And guess what happens when you're out all day long?
You eat wrong.
You eat wrong. You eat wrong.
Yeah.
And because you put yourself in this different environment. And I just want to tell to somebody, like, you're being served things. But you don't have to eat them. And that's really what Miss Krista was saying. Back to your one story you was telling you about, and I've been Mr. Todd more than I've been you, trust me. But it's like you had to decide, this is what's being served you right now,
right.
But will you eat it or
that's
not?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
And every day there's food being served you. There's fruit mm-hmm. being served you. There's situations being served you. And you've got to decide, yeah, they're at my table. But are they becoming mine, or am I going to push them away?
Mm-hmm. Am I going to lose my peace?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's taken my peace, then it's not God.
Yep. Yep. And I've lived that story too many times.
I have too.
Absolutely. And I have this saying I say in my own head a lot of times in those situations, the peace that God gave me cost way too much for me to sacrifice mm-hmm. over something so temporal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what, when I eat at a restaurant, and I worked in a restaurant, so, it's nothing for me to send a meal back if I don't. I think you should do it politely. I don't think you need to be rude. But, and we relate this to like cost, I'm not going to eat something that I have to pay for and I don't enjoy it, you know. Mm. And Jesus paid for my life and he paid for me, you know. So it's nothing wrong with saying, no, I don't accept that. No, I'm not receiving that, you know. I have to pay for this. Well, Jesus paid for me, you know. And so there, I'll just politely say, you know, this is not, I don't care for it. I don't like it, or it's not how I, can you please bring me another one, you know? And so, like you said, you send it back kindly because you're paying for it. Now, if Jeannie invites me over to her house, I won't say, Jeannie, take this back. I don't like it, because Jeannie has went out of her way to cook for me, and I will eat it, you know? And she knows, like, if you go and you're going to cook for Todd, don't cook broccoli because he's not going to eat it.
Good to know.
No, don't cook any vegetable for Todd or fruit, anything. But anyway, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is that the cost, and it is because you're paying for it that you can politely say, I reject that and I don't want that. Can you bring me something else? And with our minds, we do that. We protect and we say, it's going to cost my peace. I'm not going there. I have to stop it because Jesus paid for this and it cost him too much for me to walk in fear mm-hmm. or for me to walk in frustration or for me to walk in anger mm-hmm. because it takes a while to come out of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then you got to go ask for forgiveness and then you got to go, you know, the cost is way greater than if we say stop mm-hmm. in the name of Jesus, you know, focus, you know, get the word, speak the word, start speaking
yeah.
the word. That's what I did. I run. When that fear had tried, I'm not perfect and I'm not there, but man, I'm free right now. I am free from fear.
Mm-hmm. It's that verse you spoke, son, or a couple weeks ago, you know, bind the strong man and
yes.
plunder his house. You know,
right.
Those are the things that you're talking about right there.
And yeah. he says, will you let the thief come in and take? No, we're not.
No.
They lose sight of how quickly
yeah.
he's defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Mm-hmm. And so when you find yourself in this situation mm-hmm. and the feelings, I think, is so strong to, I don't want to go back down to 59.
Right. That's a long way back there.
And but this thing's rising up. It's very
right,
physical.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually when you start feeling that physical
mm-hmm.
Anxiety about it all and
right.
everything, you can rest assured Satan's not too far.
Oh,
right.
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But when you respond like we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's just break out in I will rejoice
mm-hmm.
or just begin to tell somebody, call somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, did I tell you how I got saved? Because if I need to tell you how I got saved.
Well, to remind myself.
But you know what I mean? Or let me tell you what the Lord did yesterday.
Uh-huh.
All right, maybe whatever it is. But or you go back in your altar place,
mm-hmm.
in your office or whatever, and you just begin to speak to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm just going to sit here. You ever seen your kids come in and just sit in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Just go in and sit in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's his room.
Right.
In
yeah.
this moment, it's his.
Right.
And what are you? You're responding. You're making a move toward.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, I've never seen it fail. This thing will be broken
mm-hmm.
in seconds.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Satan may have worked on it for a year.
Right.
And is lost in this moment.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Very good stuff. We got a hard break. We get the question. A really good way to not eat something you don't like at a person's house and they invite you over and you're not trying to be rude is always just ask your wife if she wants a taste of it. And then or if somebody has to go and serve something or get something from the kitchen, you just scoop it under her plate.
Write that book.
I'm not saying I know that from experience, all right? But possibly it could have happened once or twice.
You need to keep your eyes on Aaron when he comes over
today. Yeah.
I watch the food coming down the pike, and I go, I'm fasting today. I'm
That's a good one. Let me write that one down.
Tuesday question number one, sponsored by Farm Bureau there in Litchfield, Kentucky. How many sons and daughters did Job have? How many sons and daughters did Job have? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back. Sorry about that. The wrong thing played there. That's my King song. We're back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio, and we are just having a great conversation. Miss Crystal's in the house. Miss Jeannie's in the house. And Miss Karen's in the house. Hannah has to step away for a little bit. She'll be back in a little while. We are going to draw real fast, then I'm going to just mute my mic and let these ladies of God just go where God's leading them this morning. But we got a Chick-fil-A gift card to give away. And so we're going to do that spinny wheel right now. We did get an answer for that last trivia question. Pastor Dwayne Kidd is a tricky one because technically there's which set or are you talking about total? So I'm just going to give the total. It's 20. Pastor Dwayne got it right. So, yep. Yeah. Yep. So good job.
People ask me, you know, they'll say, you know, how many brothers and sisters do you have? And I always go, well, from this set, this mom, this aunt, you know. So if you count them all, so I get that. I really get that.
I do that with all the grandchildren we have because we have, you know, not anymore. We have anyway, it's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So we have 27, no, one on the way, 28, no, two on the way, 29.
Ooh.
Yeah. But now, again, there's a whole set of situations.
Do you start buying Christmas presents, like, right after Christmas?
No, well, 18 and under is all we buy. But that's still 17, so.
It's still a lot, huh?
Yeah.
One Christmas present every other week.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, we're going to hit this spinning wheel here. We're going to see who wins.
That's a spinning wheel.
Yeah, that's a spinning wheel.
There's.
Jeannie was like, what is that?
This guy has won. I mean, you all have seen me. I have no control. It's just real. And Brother Steve has won again.
It's a rigged.
It has to be rigged. And I don't even know. I hope Roger got him a shirt and book from last time. I left it in there for him to give to him on a Sunday night. So,
I think Brother Steve's coming in here on the weekends.
Does Steve have a, like, because we use this online thing. And I think he's got, like, he's tapped into this.
He's hacked you.
He's hacked this website or something here.
Just kidding, Brother Steve.
Congratulations. I've never seen a guy win this much in my life.
Yeah.
And so he, I don't know. I don't. I'm not a
Steve who?
I'm not Steve Huggins. I'm not a lottery winner or a lottery player. But at this point, I'm like maybe the Lord's trying to say something to him, like the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous.
The lottery's up right now. maybe need to increase your borders or something.
Ask him to buy us a lottery ticket.
Oh goodness. Well. Are y'all ready? I don't know what y'all are going into.
Where are we going?
We don't
now.
Either. We'll go somewhere though.
You'll go
Lord.
Somewhere
in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Crystal usually has something.
She has, yeah. I usually have your Bible and you're looking through.
Well,
there.
I mean,
you have a word you want to bring.
I didn't have a strong word this week, and I don't want to always be the one. So
which
just,
one is God's weak word? Could you tell
well,
me?
Well,
really.
I'm serious.
Usually, the loser, the Lord will give me a scripture, and I've got something with it. And this, it's kind of make, it's like, let me just read it to you and see if we can go there. I don't know. Now, my Bible is a different translation.
That's all right. We got the others.
Yeah, and you could see your Bible's going to say sufferings. And I don't know. I was reading Isaiah 53. I wind up there, and it says, who has believed what we have heard? I'm in verse 1. And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? He grew up before men like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. And then I went just cross-referencing to Hebrews 4, and we know this one well, mm-hmm. too. And I don't know what the Lord was saying to me in that, but Hebrews 4, we'll start in 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, mm-hmm. so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. But my translation was different, and it said, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, I didn't research a lot about it. I was just reading this morning, and for some reason that hit my spirit. And I don't believe Jesus walked around in sickness. I don't believe that. I know he was suffering, and it said he suffered many things, and he was tempted in every single way that we have been tempted. And for him to be in human form, apparently at one moment of his life, he must have experienced some type of sickness. I would say it's probably a cold, maybe.
That word grief.
Yeah.
The word grief. Yeah. It translates as anxiety, calamity, disease, yeah. grief, yeah. Sickness.
And I've just never seen it that way. I know he was tempted in every way. I don't believe the Son of God could walk in sickness very long, but apparently for him to, are y'all agreeing? Or I don't know what I'm saying in this. That's why I told you I wasn't real sure I had a word, because it says he was tempted in every way. Mine says tested. One who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace. He was God, the Son of God. But this translation, not saying it's right, I don't know. Right. I looked up other translations, and it did say the sufferings or the grief, which Karen is saying that. So apparently, I think, can we say that maybe he was sick at one point? I don't know.
I'm probably not going to. But you know what?
I don't know where that came from.
That word, in the King James, it says he was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief.
Right.
And that word acquainted there is interesting. It says that he knew it. He understood it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was, and he had respect for it. He was skilled in it.
Right.
He understood this is here.
Right.
And this is a place that he could fall into.
Right. Right, tempted. It says tested in it. Yeah.
So
maybe it tried to come against him, like I'm sure lust of the world, whatever, tried to come against, so he could understand it.
Exactly. He could never understand it.
I don't think it could live in him. I mean, not my God.
No. Well, it's that word acquainted really puts something different on it. Mm-hmm. It's different than he was tempted. He was tempted in every way. Right. Acquainted is a different
right.
But four, thing. But verse 4 kind of tells you where this is going.
Right,
because
exactly.
He said he bore our griefs. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He the took the same them. Word that was up there.
Right,
right.
That he was acquainted with.
Right.
He is
he
now
took it.
Taken them.
Yeah.
So he definitely experienced
mm-hmm.
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. He felt it.
He had to have felt it.
So
in order to carry it,
right?
So he said he understood it. It didn't mean he ever owned it, but he
that's what
he
said.
Became
tested
that.
is totally different than receiving it,
right.
And it's a good word for us that it will come, but we don't receive it.
Right.
We don't take
people
it because of what he did.
Absolutely, take your words right now and say she said Jesus got sick.
No, I did not say that. Let's make a statement. I was saying I never saw it
right.
put that way.
I haven't
again,
either.
Not saying it's right. I'm just saying it hit me this morning. I mean, you asked me, did I have something? And I was going to question this, and I was going to seek it. It's like, why would this translation say it like that? But like you said, he was tested with it, and he took it. So, again, I think he experienced pain and grief, mm-hmm. but he did that to bring it to the cross. He didn't walk around with cancer. He didn't walk around with colds. He didn't walk around with fever, you know, but he knew what it was. And like you said, he was acquainted with it. Mm-hmm. So, again, don't know why. You ask, so there it is.
Well, you know, again, verse 5 kind of puts them all in the same place, you know, about the cross. Mm-hmm. He was wounded for transgressions.
Right.
He was bruised for iniquities.
Right.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Mm-hmm.
His stripes, we were healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of just puts all of those things that are up there in verse 3 together mm-hmm. On the cross.
On the cross. And that's what we have to remember. But, you know, it also brought, he understands us, you know, and maybe that's the word of the Lord that God is trying to say is, he is the Son of God, and we take no credit away from him or no honor or respect for him away. But he did know what we went through.
In this, he's a man.
And that's why God did it. Uh-huh. You know, not only just for him to come to the cross, but so, you know, when we pray, we know that, like I said, when I went through a situation of being sick, God knew. He took that. And he didn't experience like I did, you know, but he knew what it was, and he took it to the cross and said, now believe me for it and know that I already took it.
Yeah.
You know.
And see, he had to know.
Right.
You know,
he
because
had to feel.
Back in the old days, been a long time since I've said that. Back, you know, Moses and Aaron and all of those people, you know, they had the high priest, but he went into the holy place, mm-hmm. Holy of Holies,
right.
Once a year,
right.
To pray for everybody,
right.
Including himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't do that.
Right,
he's
no.
never had to do that.
Right.
He is the perfect high priest. He's the great high priest. He can intercede for us
mm-hmm.
and ask for our forgiveness or our cleansing or whatever it is we're seeking with perfection.
Right.
Because he stands in it.
And it says, therefore, let us approach mm-hmm. the throne of grace mm-hmm. with boldness.
Right.
So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. And
right.
he did all that so that we don't have to bring our lamb. You know, like you said, the high priest has already done it. It was once and for all. But he knew about it.
Right.
He knew what we were going to go through. So when we say, you know, he's way up there and he can't relate to what this translation may be wrong in how it says it, but he knew what sickness was.
Absolutely.
You know, he didn't walk in it. You know, but he took it, you know. And so if we can remember that he knew, I mean, he took cancer. It may not have been, I don't know how it was back then, you know, like now everything's cancer because of the way we eat, I guess, or something. But he knew what it was. He knew infirmity. He knew sickness. He knew pest. He knew those things and took them anyway and
right.
said, you know, I understand it. I don't know that he felt it. I don't know that he had a cold. I don't know that, you know what I'm saying, in his human form only is what I mean. I don't know.
It says, and of course, our famous scripture here for this is 1 Peter 2:24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he said, in his own self,
right,
with his own self, he bore
mm-hmm.
our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, what is what's wrapped up in sin will be sickness and disease.
Right, exactly.
But he said he bore it, and that word, to bear it, he meant he carried it
mm.
and he offered it.
Right.
So he, in order to bear something, you're going to have to feel something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he did that in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead now to sin, should live to righteousness
mm-hmm.
by his stripes.
Right.
We were healed.
Right.
That's
yeah.
where our, you know,
you
we've read
been.
That, we've read it,
yeah.
we read it, but can we really see
mm-hmm.
what he's saying here? He said, I'm going to bear this.
I'm going to face it all.
I'm mm-hmm. taking every bit mm-hmm. of it, and I'm going to carry it up and
right.
offer myself
right.
with it.
Right.
You know, because he became that. He became
you know, and we're supposed to be in his image. Now, we don't do this part of it.
Right.
But we should have compassion for others like he had for us. You know, that's love what he did. He took infirmity. He took pain. He knew what sickness was, and he faced it, and he walked toward it, and he took it. Anyway, and he took pain, he took depression, he took anxiety, he took fear, faced all those things, knew what they were, and took them to the cross. What love. He didn't have to do that. He was created to do that, but he didn't have to do that. But he even got to a point where he was tested. My God, mm-hmm. why have you forsaken me? But he still went to it.
Even there, I think that there was him bearing something on our behalf.
Right.
He had to know what it felt like, I think, to feel like God had rejected you.
Right.
I think even yeah. in that was a work that he was doing mm-hmm. in order for us to come boldly.
Right. Right.
To experience the God turning his mm-hmm. back.
Mm-hmm. There's still a compassion. Stand on this scripture for just a second, because how do I now, carry? How do I help someone, you know?
Right.
Of course, it's the ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. But what is the ministry of reconciliation but that Jesus has died for you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we don't leave them with that message.
Right.
We take them to the place, even ourselves, to the place where we now live unto righteousness. Mm-hmm. We live a life that says, by his stripes, by what he went through now, you're healed.
That's right.
And so the best thing we can do for anyone who finds themselves either sick or down or depressed or all the things is carry them the reconciliation of Jesus, that there is life now.
Right.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. You know,
right.
we talk about denying yourself, laying down your life. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake. But we forget to get up and live the life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we can carry this brand new life. There's a life in righteousness
mm-hmm.
that you haven't got to yet.
That's right.
You're still over here on the barren of your sins.
That's right.
Amen.
And we don't have to, like you're saying, We don't even have to. I mean, when we come into the revelation that he did it all, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have to walk in sin anymore. We don't have to say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're a sinner that Jesus died for, and you're redeemed. As Jeannie's saying, now go forth and do the Great Commission. Go forth and do what he told us to do. Set the captives free, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, as Pastor Aaron is saying, let's talk about strongholds. Let's talk about what's holding you back so you can get set free. He did it for you. And then go on and move and go get somebody else free. We are disciples to go forth and tell somebody else about Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Aaron said this week that if you... if somebody comes to your mind, then either pray for them right there in the moment or call them, mm-hmm. one or the other, because something's going on. And how many times have we done that? Oh, I wonder how they're doing, you know, and we just go on about our day.
About your business,
But yeah, it's like Jesus didn't do that with us. You know, he felt it all. He knew it all.
Mm-hmm.
And he was tested in every way that we are tested. You know, if you're going through a trial right now and you're saying, I just don't know how much more I can take. There's no temptation that has overtaken you that God cannot bring you out of.
I want to go back to Hebrews 4 right there, and I'm going to get out of the box a little bit with verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
But it said, well, you started at 14, didn't you?
Yes.
All right, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession or our profession. Hold fast. This is the subject here. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows we're going through things here. He understands that you're weak in faith right here. But he said, in all these things that he was tempted in the same way, he was tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch. So verse 16 is talking about a person who's going through something and not entering into the place of sin with it.
Oh, wow.
I know. Because
yeah.
then he says, now let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We always read that scripture of, let us come boldly to the throne of grace and receive our help. I need to be free from anxiety. I need to be free from this situation and my finances. So we come boldly to the throne.
Right.
But that's not what this is talking
about,
I don't think.
Mm-mm.
I think he's saying when you're in your down place, when you're going through it now, mm-hmm. and he said, I know what it's like to go through it.
Right.
I know what it's like to bear that, he said, but yet I did it without sin.
come boldly. Yeah. Come boldly. If your faith is weak, if you're not sure how this thing's going to turn out, if you're not sure that he would do it for me, come boldly now to the throne room of grace. Why? You're going to get mercy and find help.
Amen.
You're going to find help
Amen.
To in come the through. Time of need. Amen.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Over there in that one in First Peter, I think it was. But it says, maybe it's Second Peter, but that we should follow it. Verse 21, it says, "For even Aaron too were you called, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." I think that really lines up in a way for me with that verse you just read about coming boldly. He was acquainted with those, and we do with them, but again, it's without sin. Don't let them take you too far. Follow his steps.
That's right.
If we just
sit down in our situations, we think we have a just right. Mm-hmm. We have a right because it's, you know, it's, let's just face facts. I want to be careful, but you're going through it. Nobody's minimizing the fact that you have cancer, or minimizing the fact that you have a serious situation going on here. But you know, being in that and facing facts, it's not going to help you.
That's right.
You got to come out somehow.
That's right.
You got to come out. And this is what he's talking about when he said, come boldly.
Mm-hmm.
Come boldly, because this is why I died, he
That's
said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is what I died to do, was to get you through this.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen. You know, I've told you about it, but I heard this man preaching last Friday night, and I won't go into all of it, but he was preaching about the woman with the issue of blood. And it kind of, you know, again, you know, she'd gone through all these treatments and everything, but he was saying that with one finger, she caught the attention of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to what you're talking about there. I think that what position are you going to put yourself in? Are you going to reach out to get his attention toward that, or you know, are you going to pull him into that place? Are you going to commune with him in the midst of this thing, instead of just sitting there and wallowing in it?
Right.
Not again, not belittling anything,
no.
But there is a way out of here.
Right.
And that is in you, and
That's
that is on you in a way.
Right.
Because you've got to move toward the one who is. You got to come boldly.
Right. That's right.
You know, she came boldly.
Mm-hmm.
No, if anybody had seen her, they'd have told her to leave. But she came boldly to the only place that she was going to find what she needed. And I do think, I mean, that really makes so much factual sense to me, is that you have to be the one that moves sometimes. You have to move toward your Savior.
Story years ago, I'm talking, you know, 20 years ago, I went through a situation where my ex-husband decided to go back to the world. You know, he had been serving the Lord for 17 years, and he made the decision to go back to the world. Adultery, and went back to everything that he used to do. Anyway, and I don't mean to put him down for that, but it just happened, and I was devastated. 40 years old, and here I was. He left, and I could just tell you story after story, but broke, busted, and disgusted was pretty much, he just left. I was abandoned. They picked my car up. I lost my house, all these things, lost my house and all these things, and I was just crushed, and I was the worship leader at my church, and I went to church one Sunday morning, and I had told my dad, I said, I cannot, because it was story after story, and it was just overwhelming me. And I said, I cannot lead worship today. I just cannot do it. And he said, well, that's okay. He said, you just stay here and receive. And you know, I said, okay. So my brother gets up there, and he begins to worship. And it's going well, you know. And I was trying to worship, and I felt like it was a day of decision. Was I going to stay in this,
Come on.
You know, or was I going to move in what God said? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to do it. I could not get up in front of people and sing. I was just, you know, how you get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like somebody's out there this morning that you're like, it won't stop in my life. I am overwhelmed. I mean, I heard story, and during this time, I was hearing this, then this would happen, then this is going to happen, and this. And I was just like, you know, when my heart is overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And my brother was worshiping, and he happened to look at me. And all he did, I can't do it on the radio, but he nodded his head like,
get
come
up, here.
Get up here.
Get up here.
Yeah. Like that. And I looked at him, and he did it again. He said, get up here. And I knew at that I had a decision to make. Mm-hmm. Was I walking out, or was I going to stay here?
Right.
And I walked up on the stage, and I began to worship. I began to cry, but I sang my way through rejoicing. And the whole church erupted. We all began to worship. We all began to praise. Mm-hmm. And from that day on, I praised my way through. Mm-hmm. I rejoiced through the storm. I praised my way out. And we all have a story in here that we could tell. But I could have, I was justified in my situation. Hey, he left me. You know what it's like to have your car picked up? It was so embarrassing. I was humiliated. I had to foreclose on my house. I lost everything. You know, I had to move in a little apartment and start all over with my life.
Right.
But when I made that decision, I could have said, God, my heart's overwhelmed and I'm just going to stay right here. And you're gonna have to do something. You know?
And don't you think there's an expectation
from
yourself and people around you that you're really going through it here?
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to be, can't be happy.
That's right.
You can't just be getting up there rejoicing.
Yeah. But they knew enough to know that when I began to take a step and I walked toward victory,
right.
I walked through to coming out. And I walked up on that stage, and no glory to me, please don't take it that way. I lifted my hands in desperation, and I said, lead me to the rock that is higher than
she
I. And I, as I, and I cried, mm-hmm. I was still hurting. The hurt didn't go away overnight either. But that day I made a decision. So we're praying for you today that this day is your day
to say,
I will praise my way out. Yeah. We started with there's a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. That don't mean your problems go away. It took me several years to restore. God restored. Let me correct that real quick.
Yeah.
Blessed me with another house. Blessed me a car given to me. A 95 Mustang convertible. I was already 40 going through a midlife, you know.
Yeah, that's what you needed.
Really gave it to me, and just miracle after miracle. Not, you know, it was because of the decisions we make.
Right.
It's not easy. We're not going to sit here and act like, if you just make a decision, everything in your life's going to get back. It took years. I'm not going to lie. It did. But I kept getting up and worshiping. I kept every day. Mm-hmm. God would speak to me every day. But it's, again, going back to obedience. Mm-hmm. I ran to the word. I ran to my song. I ran to praise.
Right.
I ran to worship.
And the journey was a life worth living.
Yes, it is.
And see, the thing, too, I think, is that this is the life you want to live. You want to be able to walk up there and do those things, because then you really are in that place where Paul said, follow me
as
I follow Christ. That is one of the purposes of your life, is to follow the Lord.
Right.
And to lead other people to it. It's not always leading people to the Lord because you go up to them speak to them. Sometimes it shows up in your actions.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time.
Now, follow me as I follow Christ. Lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that these words that we've heard this morning, you know, Hannah speaking of being grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Find me thankful,
yeah,
Lord.
Right.
This word that you spoke about, having compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are words that bearing away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are words that we have to have, because, again, it is this thing we're talking about, strong man, plunder
his
house, keep the peace of the Lord, but so that we might say, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
What an incredible thing that would be to say to someone,
right.
even in your own thinking.
That's right.
Yeah. And so you pick somebody up and say, come on.
We're going to worship.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're going to praise Him right now. Right. You know, and they don't feel like it.
Yeah, and you don't want to. Yeah.
Or they see you as you walk into it. Like I said, we walk in, and it's not been a good day.
Right.
Come on, I have to praise Him. We got to go
back. And it's not always a stage. But
no, that's right.
If you'll see the picture for you spiritually that you walk toward victory.
Yeah, this is in the room.
I had to get to that stage because of where I was at. I had to go run to my worship. Right. I had to. I physically walked up there. You'd think the devil didn't fight me all the way.
Sure.
You don't need to be up there, because worship leaders have to be perfect.
And everybody knows what you're going through.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They all knew, small church, But it was like I had, come running to the mercy seat. We just read it.
Remember that
song? Come running.
Yes,
come
yes.
running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling.
Come on.
Anyway, you don't put worship leaders in here and it not happen. But anyway.
No, it's a man.
But the thing is, you go running back to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's what I had to do. I had to get my eyes off of all the devastation going all around me. We all have a story.
And, you have to tell yourself that again. I've had some physical things where I couldn't hardly move. And I had to say to myself in church today, you will raise your arm.
That's right.
Feet, you will pray.
That's right.
Knees, you will bend. You will honor the Lord today.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what it feels like.
Right.
Because this honoring Him and worshiping Him is the utmost.
That's
so
right.
You put yourself in that utmost place.
Right.
Come on. That's what He's saying there. Come on.
That's
come
right.
on. Find yourself
right.
here. Reach.
Do we have a guest today?
If we do, we just passed him up.
I think they quit doing that for
There's me. Key in what you're saying, too. Naturally, they even say that a person that is down and depressed through sickness and disease, most of the time they die quicker because their mindset goes down.
Right.
They get depressed and say, it's not worth it. It's not. My mama said that to me one time. This isn't living, because she was sick, And it wasn't long after that she passed away. And we have to keep our mindset. Now, sometimes it's our time, and we get that. We're not trying to say, but we're just saying that, you're rejoicing your way to victory is what you're doing. You're rejoicing your way to healing, And there's much better than sitting around and saying, woe is me.
Well, when He returns, will He find faith is a question He asks. But, on my side of it, if I leave here before He returns, how do I want to walk out of
That's
here?
That's right.
Woo-hoo.
Amen.
How many times have you said, if I'm on my deathbed, the last thing I want to be doing is praising.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be praising the Lord
That's
as
right.
I go.
That's right.
And, just go on and do
That's
it.
That's right.
Because it does put you in the right place. It's not a matter about when it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But go on. Go right. on out and live this life to the fullest, all the way to the end.
And one thing that can help you in rejoicing is to remember what He did.
Mm-hmm.
What He did for us. He took on sickness. He took on poverty. He took on pain and sorrow and depression and fear and anxiety. And He took it with Him and made a way for us to live with Him eternally. For God so loved the world. If we can remember that, we should be rejoicing. We should be rejoicing all the way that, oh my goodness, God, what You did for me. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Just in time, and I'm going to praise His name. I'm going to praise Him. Each day is just the same. I'm going to praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Look
Amen.
What He just did.
Perfect.
You remember Kenneth Hagin Sr.?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He came off the deathbed at 15 years old, and he was they had given him up to die, and he does a message called The Praise Cure.
Uh-huh.
I still have it on cassette.
Yeah.
But that's what it was about. He brought himself up out of that place by praising him.
Right. Man. That's right.
By praising him. And he called it the praise cure.
Yes. Yes.
Man, you need to get a little praise cure right. up in here. Now we got our fourth singer. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, like I said, started a little heavy, not really knowing what the Lord was saying. But, right. man, if we come to what he says, he knew our sufferings. He knew our grief. He knew all about it. And, man, he took it all anyway for each one of us, and we worship our way through it. We
and
praise him.
And he said, you follow me as I lead the
That's
way.
That's right. That's
you
right.
follow me as I lead That's the way. Right. I mean, he gave us an example.
Keep your eyes on me. Mm-hmm. I've got it, is what he kept
it's
saying.
Extraordinary
and so
stuff.
When I hear things, I say, Lord, I'm keeping my eyes on you because I know you have it. You told me in Jeremiah 24 that I'm watching over them for their good, and they will return to me with all their heart. So you stay focused. You stay focused. And so this morning, we encourage you also just to stay focused on Jesus mm-hmm. today and praise your way through. Just find yourself. I was in my car. I know, and that's when my breakthrough came. This time, I've been through so many breakthroughs. We all have.
A lot of stuff happens in the car.
It does.
Though, you
I think it's because you can't do anything. You mm-hmm. can't. You've got to focus, you know, and you're almost imprisoned. You're captured, and you can't do anything. But either, of course, you need to be focused on the road mainly. Mm-hmm. But you know, praising and
preaching,
just, right? And I just begin to speak to myself. I will not go this way any longer. I will not allow. And I just begin to say, Jesus, it's all about you, and I praise you. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I was hollering. I was just like letting it out, the pain and the groanings. And Jesus says sometimes we groan in the spirit with words too deep for words. And I began to speak mm-hmm. in tongues, and I began to praise my way out of it and just begin to groan in the spirit. And maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Get alone with Jesus and just begin to say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to worship you anyway. I'm in pain, but I'm going to worship you anyway. I'm sick. I'm going to worship you anyway. My marriage is falling apart, but I'm going to worship you through it. And I know you're a big God, and you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And as I worshiped my way through it, my journey was different than what I thought. But, man, it's been good. It's been gooder and gooder all the way. And I just thank God that he restored back everything to me that the enemy stole. He restored back, like I said, a car, natural things. He restored back to me a house. He restored back to me my husband. I have a new husband that is awesome and loves to worship also. So you never know what God will do. Or he can restore your marriage where it's at, you know. So just begin to praise him. He'll, like, Miss Karen says that she worships even when she's in pain. Mm-hmm. You know, she worships as she's sick. Sometimes when we're sick, we don't go to church. Well, I'm sick. I don't need to be at church anyway. You know, no, come to church and be healed through worship and praise and the mm-hmm. word going forward. Now, if you got, you know, something contagious, maybe use wisdom. We're not saying.
But, you know, I've come to church with laryngitis before to teach a class.
Yeah.
And by the time I finish the class,
yeah.
I'm talking out loud.
I mean, that way.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. Just praise the Lord, preach the Lord, talk about the Lord right on out mm-hmm. of that place. Mm-hmm. Walk yourself right out of there right. in his name.
That's right.
And because it will happen.
It will
happen.
Always go back to that Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was the second one where he was going through this big old canyon thing, if y'all remember it, and there was no bridge. Mm-hmm. But he took a step, and when he did, a big stone rose up. So he took another step, and a big stone rose up. But he had to take that first step of nothing. Mm-hmm. He was way up high in this cave, and it was a big cavern. But as he took a step, that stone would rise up. Take another step.
Mm-hmm.
And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. As we take that step, God's going to show up, and he's going to receive your worship and receive your praise and bring you through.
Yeah.
Give you a heart of gladness.
You know, Jeannie, one of the things you said, and now to me this goes here, but she always would say, you need to learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Mm.
You know, and sometimes that's how I have felt walking in the Lord. Sometimes you just have to be uncomfortable where you are, but learn that if he's there with you and you're trusting him with it, that you can be, you can be comfortable with mm-hmm. that uncomfortableness.
That can become your new normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, that just speaks, but you know, you talk about that rock coming up underneath that man's foot as he took a step. Sometimes you just have to learn to be comfortable with
that's
that.
Right.
You have to trust that.
Yeah.
If everything he said is true about his thoughts toward you, if all of that's true, the rock will show up underneath your feet.
Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Hannah?
That's so good. Yeah. I'm just jumping in.
We've been talking for 2 hours.
Well, we're talking about things that if our listeners are listening, then it's your coming out day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whatever had you in the back room of the house.
Yeah.
Whatever had you beat down. Whatever had your thoughts and was just consuming you with it.
Right.
This is your coming out day.
That's right.
And you know,
praise him anyway.
We've talked so many times, and Aaron's been talking, and I know pastors at other churches and people have been talking. You cannot really sit in this world today, even as a non-Christian, but as a Christian, you can't sit in this world today and realize that things aren't changing. And I'm not just talking about in the world that we see on the news. You can't sit and think and say that you cannot tell that there is spiritually things that are increasing. And we got to be ready for it. And I don't mean that in the way, oh, we've got to be prepared to stand again. We got to be prepared to march. We've got to be prepared because things are changing. But it's God that's moving it.
That's right.
He's moving.
That's right.
You know, it's that sound off in the distance. You know, I said this one time, I can hear the sound of David approaching. And that's what it is. He's approaching. And we've got to get on mark.
Right.
And not play anymore with things.
That's right. That's good.
We've got to be serious minded about this. In every way, we've got to rejoice and be glad, and we've got to be thankful, and we've got to all of those things, but we've got to be real serious about them. And I'm the one that needs to hear it. I'm the one that needs to hear it, and I want to hear it.
That's right.
But I want to be a doer of the word.
Amen.
Not just a hearer of the word.
Find a way today to believe him. Find a way.
Yes, let's read our scripture again. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to the confession, for we do not have a high priest. I'm sorry, I don't have my glasses on. Who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And that's where we started, is that Jesus knows what we went through. He was tested in every way. One who has been tested in every way, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper
time of need.
So we thank God, and we pray that you'll rejoice your way today.
Let's practice. Let's practice before we leave.
Amen.
You know, what is it? How do I begin such a thing? What do I say? I don't even know what to say. Well, start with what he said.
That's right.
What did he say? He said, I'm not leaving you.
That's right.
I'm not leaving you.
That's right.
I'm not forsaking you. I've already made provision. I've already bore what you're going through. It's been all over me, and I came through it. And now you come here. Come here and let me give you what you're going to have to
when
have.
When you walk through the fire, I will be there. Yeah.
Buddy, when you go to him that way, what are you doing? You're touching him.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to find a way to reach him. I'm going to draw near to God. He will draw near to you. There's getting ready to be an explosion in your life if you'll draw near to him, because he's coming to you as fast as you're coming to him.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. What are you going to find? You're going to find faith down up inside of you, because he put it there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When we start to confront some of these things in our mind, some of the lies, and replace them with the truth, it's gonna automatically cause us to move.
Yeah.
Because when you've been in a place where you've been retreating or isolating, kind of like we talked about before, the lies cause us to go backwards like that. But whenever we replace it with the truth, it won't be all on the pressure on us. Automatically, there's movement and there's a propelling forward when we replace those things in our mind with the truth.
Because it propels you to to do what he's called you to do, and that's to be about the Father's business.
Exactly.
That's what Jesus was here for, to be. He came to please his Father.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his utmost intention. His utmost purpose was to please his Father.
Mm-hmm. So pull out that, what is that, blue back hymnal?
What?
Was it a blue? Yeah. Pull out that hymnal. Pull out your grandma's song.
Uh-huh.
Pull out something. Begin to bring it up before the Lord again. Mm-hmm. Sing that song.
And there may be, I've talked to some people who, I mean, they just, they're like, I don't sing. I don't sing.
So
I don't
let somebody do it for you.
Yeah. I mean, but whatever your heart song, maybe it's not belting it out, but maybe it's your heart song. Maybe it's speaking those things out and just thanking the Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you. And as you begin to thank the Lord and have that heart of gratitude and speak those things, remember those things that the Lord's done for you. Brother Robbie texted earlier that's our weapon. Mm-hmm. Thankfulness, gratefulness is our weapon. And I think that it will naturally start to lead you into a place Amen. Of praise. Amen. Maybe you don't know how to praise. Because, I mean, this is real talk. Like, especially people who didn't grow up in church. Not everybody right. just knows how to praise. It's not just natural for us to know how to praise, especially if we've not grown up in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But all people, we all know what thankfulness means and gratitude. And so just start to speak those things out. Mm-hmm. Just start to thank the Lord for what he has done and wherever you're at in this journey. And, you know, I think we will start to become uncomfortable with the uncomfortable.
Yes.
Whatever it looks like.
And go to the Psalms. I mean, Psalms are a great place to praise
it
the
is.
Lord.
It is.
Isaiah 43. Now, this is what the Lord says. And the one who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters and when you pass through the rivers. They will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire and the flame. When you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. For I, Yahweh, your God, the Holy One of Israel, and your Savior, gave Egypt as a ransom for you. Do not fear, for I am with you. And so it just goes on and mm-hmm. on and on. And find the word. Just read the word. That's what that's how I get started. I start saying, God, you said, when I walk through the waters, you know, I will not drown. When I walk through the fires, I will not be burned, God. And Lord, I just rejoice in you. I run to the Psalms and I just begin to say, you know, I will not fear, you know. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me. And we just begin to praise our way through reading the word. He said his word will not return void to him. It will not. And he said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So begin to speak it and proclaim it.
You know, there's something you put up on the screen the other day, Sunday, and it was talking about it is strongholds in your life that are brought down by Scripture. Mm. And it is standing on someone's word. Mm-hmm. You're always standing on someone's mm-hmm. word,
mm-hmm.
either yours,
yep.
your enemies, your yep. neighbors, or God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And it is those words that change the voice in your mind. Those words are the place where your mind becomes like Christ, because he hung on every
That's
word
right.
that God said.
That's right.
He functioned by that, and
hear, say, and move.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and or move and wait.
Yeah.
And you know, it reminds me again. I've probably told it the same story over and over, but it's that place where Jesus said to me, "You stay behind the word." Mm-hmm. That is your place of everything.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna
shield
make a plug.
Of faith.
I'm gonna make a plug for our program.
Okay.
Y'all catch our program, because we're getting ready to go into these voices.
Right.
And so how we position ourselves has a lot to do with whose voice we're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about the voices and whose voices they are and where we are at in it.
Absolutely.
And on our broadcast. So.
Yeah. Last year I was working with a young man during basketball practice, and I kept on trying to get him to move his body in a certain way on defense, and he's athletic enough, he just kept telling me he can't. Mm-hmm. And I said, son, we don't say I can on this floor. Like, you can now do it. And it took a few times, but he finally started to get his body into position. And I think spiritually we need to do surgery to the I can'ts.
Come on, come on.
We got to do surgery to the I can'ts. You can. Because my Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one of the greatest lies of the enemy today is that you're always going to be depressed, that you're always going to be an addict, that you're always going to be in a stronghold, that you're always going to be defeated, that you're always going to be in this, and you're always going to be sick, and you're always going to have this. And it's a sell of the enemy that he's trying to get you to receive. It's going back to our diets. It's being served, but you don't have to eat it, friend. Through Christ, there is victory. Through Christ, there is hope. Through Christ, there is life. And whatever situation you're facing today, cut the I can'ts out of your life and declare over your life that through Christ all things are possible. For the Bible said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And whatever that is in your life, he is more than enough. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
You need to change your I can'ts to the God's language, and that is I will.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I will.
Mm-hmm. Can we sing a song?
Sure.
Were you going to say something?
Oh, so no, go ahead.
Mm-mm. Oh, I thought
she was going to sing. We got four people in here. We got to sing. That's right.
I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I'll raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I'll raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm going to sing.
And I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. And I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I'll raise a hallelujah.
Here we go.
I will watch the darkness flee, and I'll raise a hallelujah. In the middle of the mystery, I'll raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
Come on, let's sing.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Yeah.
And I'll raise a hallelujah.
Amen. Raise it.
Raise hallelujah. That hallelujah. That's
and
right. That's
until
right.
Next time, you raise your hallelujah.
Well, I just, Jeannie said we got four people, so I took that as my cue to step out, Jeannie. I'm just kidding.
Well, we're holding your voice back for the surprise.
Yeah, it's, I haven't got through boot camp yet. incredible morning. Greg Carwell said, I love those sisters of the day. So encouraging. And just what a morning. So today, honestly, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, don't say I can't. Don't say I'm defeated. Mm-hmm. Don't stop proclaiming the garbage over your life. Stop eating the meal you didn't order. Love, joy, peace, righteousness is on your plate today.
Amen.
In the name
of Jesus,
eat of that. Let's do this. We got two minutes left. Somebody pray us way out for somebody this morning.
Yeah. Well, Father, we thank you. God, we raise our hallelujah to you this morning, God.
Yes.
Lord, you felt everything we feel, God. You knew, and you know today, God, everything that people, our listeners, are going through right now, God, that we are all going through, God, something. Everybody has a story, God. Everybody has something they're going through. And, God, we praise our way through this morning, God, rejoicing in the fact, God, in the truth that you took it all on the cross, God. You took it for me. You took it for Jeannie, Hannah, Karen, Pastor Aaron, everybody listening to our voices this morning, God. You took it all on that cross, God. You loved us enough, God.
You loved us in our sin. You loved us where we were.
Yeah.
God, you know where we're at today. God, you love us in the middle of the storm. And God, as we lift our hands right now, God, and rejoice in you, rejoicing in the fact that, Father, you died on a cross for us to save us from hell so that we can live forever and ever with you, God. In the meantime on this earth, God, we thank you that you said you'd never leave us.
Thanks.
That, God, you would go through the waters with us. You would go through the storms with us. You would go through the trials with us, God, as we go through patience is being produced in us, God. And we rejoice and we raise our hallelujah today,
yes.
God,
Amen.
To you. And we thank you for testimony. We thank you for good reports in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we love you guys. Thank you all for joining in today. Be blessed. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.